This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
Here's what's going to happen. I am going to have to fix you, manage you to on a more personal scale, a more micro form of management. What is that called?
Microgerment.
Boom. Yes.
It's Mike Schoep.
What is your name, sir?
I am Bill Buttlicker.
And the Bulldog.
Really, that's your real name?
How dare you? My family built this country, by the way.
It's Mike Schoep.
The three words I would describe you as is aggressive,
yes.
Hostile, and definitely difficult.
And the Bulldog.
Well, I like the sound of your voice.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, Sabres and Sharks in an hour. It wasn't intentional.
Pre-game
in an hour.
Sabres and Sharks.
It wasn't intentional. I didn't mean to exactly figure out a way to feel better about the Sabres by looking up just random things about them over the years. But I do kind of feel better just seeing the name Dominic Cahoon.
I understand how that could happen.
Dominic Cahoon. How about it for Anders Bjork, by the way? Rank these three players in Sabres history. Dominic Cahoon, Anders Bjork, Arttu Ruotsalainen.
Oh, my gosh. I got excited about Ruotsalainen.
Sure.
I had a minute with him. The other two dudes, barely. Half a minute with either guy, maybe. But Ruotsalainen, I remember thinking like, oh, this guy, this is a guy. I think this guy can play. And it didn't happen. Yeah. So I got sucked in on him a little bit. I think the other two, not as much.
No.
So for me, I don't know. To me, they're all nothing burgers. But at least Ruotsalainen, I had a moment where I thought like he could be on my team. I think the other two were on the team more substantively than he ever was, which says a lot about my judgment, I guess.
I was asking myself earlier, thinking about today, and last night, if I've tried too hard to buy into them, to buy into some of their guys. I mean, some of these, if you will, fringe players. Cahoon, thinking of Pilot. Guys that it seemed right to, they seem to make sense. The charts like them, and I'm not going to have a whole team of superstars. I don't want that. It's not possible. But I've got to have role players, and I think I'm getting my superstars right, generally. This goes back a decade now, but still, I've got high end. I just need to not get buried when my best players are on the bench. And so some of these players have looked reasonable toward that, but I still got nowhere. And we're talking about Cousins before, and what happened to Dylan Cousins? What is it about the Sabres that seems to bring about just this, I don't want to say apathy, from within the team. I wouldn't want to say that, but almost everybody's always miserable. Going back to O'Reilly, we talked about him today, because with the Sabres, you can never escape your past. It's just Drury Brière, Pekka Hasek. You can never escape the past, which is, marked by this drama so often, of course, with Eichel too, where is the player unhappy and why and what is going on behind the scenes, like pre-Pegula with the Sabres, that makes you wonder. Cousins is different, I guess, but who knows what he thinks in private or what he says about where he's at in his career or just what. You got a guy at Berglund who just quit hockey instead of playing for the Sabres. Remember that one from the Blues?
Yes, that was part of the O'Reilly trade. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure teams have their own examples of this. But again, part of what is so maddening about the Sabres' absolute inability to get out of the bottom is that it's confusing in a way. You get Lukanen on a great year, and that makes sense. So I'm good there, but I'm not maybe that good there. I thought I was. There's a lot of I thought I was. Mm-hmm. I thought I was okay. I won the lottery a few times, you know, if you will. Second, including second, because the guys they got in those 2 years. Like, what have I gotten wrong? Like, what is it about this whole thing that just has buried them? And it's, as you know, most of these years haven't even been that interesting. Like, they're not close. If I had 10 more points, I'd be fired up for tonight.
Yeah.
More than fans of these teams like Boston and the Rangers, who are in the playoffs all the time, but this year are down. Like, this is new for me.
Right. If the Sabres were in the spot either one of those two teams were in, they're... I mean, those teams are talking about selling guys, at least the Bruins are, and they did so today already. I mean, a minor trade, but a tough guy that can play kind of anywhere in your lineup. Frederick, that's what he is. So they're dumping at least that. I mean, that's not a top-line guy or anything, but still, we would not be – if the Sabres were 4 points out of a playoff spot or two or three, like some of those teams are that we're talking about – we would not be talking about trading Zucker or Greenway. We'd be talking about finding another center or something, or a defenseman or whatever. Like, it would be so new to have, like, oh, we got a race. We really have a race. They're in a race. Not like we were talking ourselves into last week, but like actually a race. And yeah, we're so far gone that would be exciting and new.
It would be new
for a change, like especially on a. I feel like every year at some point I give the speech about it's getting nice out and it's lighter out longer, and like hockey, you start to feel it, man. It's coming. Here come the playoffs. And like, who am I going to be playing? Do I want to be the two or the one? Or, you know, the five or the four or what? Like, oh my gosh, it's an empty set for us. Bums me out every year when I think of that. So I didn't even want to say it myself. I didn't want to think it, but I did. It's been just so long since we've had that percolating, that vibe around town.
What I never want to do is completely give up. I know it's going to sound like that sometimes when, like most fans, I suppose, it feels pretty lonely. But I never want to entirely give up. And no matter how many bad decisions your team has made for years and years, they start over every year, right? Like you don't start from behind in the race. You start from even. And you get the vibes going. Other things click. Line mates click. Hope returns and you're somewhere.
You're free. You're free of this. You definitely leave this. You know, you reserve the right to revisit it, right? This feeling that we all have right now. But yeah, when they get good, it's like you don't like worry about what happened 3 years ago. And he was like, "This is good. They're good now."
It might be harder to trust it, but you have it. And if you're committing to not giving up like entirely, that leaves there being some. You know, some juice in there that when last night happens or the last three games happen, you get upset because you did care. You cared enough to have that bother. You didn't give up all the way. There's a part of me, and sometimes I probably say this kind of thing, but like you referenced a caller maybe talking this way from the past. Just tell me when they're good, right? Like there's a part of me that kind of wants to do that. But I really don't fully want to do that because, again, it's just incredible the Sabres for so long not having a year where those things happened once. It's more amazing than anything else, this drought, because they don't spend to the cap, but they do spend a lot, and they have talent. And they've had, you know, some credible coaches. Like, there's enough where you'd think one of these times it's gonna land right. And then here we go again when we get to, like, the beginning of March, and I guess, well, these maybe aren't not meaningful games. And it's amazing. It's almost worse than just being 14 years without, because for so many of those years they've been rock bottom, last. Not just out, but last, with super talent in some cases. Like, kind of on every one of these teams, there's been a player or two that anybody would love to have, and it still happens. It's just confounding. So, it's been said many times, what do you do now? I mean, I don't mean the trade deadline, but the Sabres, I think, like, I know a lot of people agree, so badly need new people that can give the impression that this is a serious organization. I mean, due respect to Adams, I always like talking to him. 5 years as a GM without a playoff appearance, time's up. I mean, that's, yeah. I think it should be three. 5 years, 5 years without playoffs in hockey, that's the bare minimum. It's just making it, you don't make it every year, but you know what I'm saying? Find your way somehow, this owner, to somebody that the Greg Wyshynskis of the world will say, okay, this is somebody who's actually been a GM before. This is somebody who's getting this job makes sense. And then a coach with, because the GM is there. And this is now, you know, not a guy who coached soccer or a guy who coached juniors, right? Like, this is sort of a real, due respect again to Lindy, who is this, career-wise, is this. But he worried me early this year, just like, I wasn't sure I wanted to do it. That is waiting for the Sabres. And maybe they'll never do it. You know, they didn't do it other times.
Nope.
When it might have been pretty logical and seemed maybe obvious that they should.
Yeah, I would love to know, really, like, in private, what the owner really feels about the whole thing. Like, does he just feel hopeless? No matter what I do, it's not going to work. Because he has not tried everything. He's tried a lot of different people, but he's never, it should be, should be repeated maybe more often than it is. What you said earlier. Every GM that they've hired hadn't had the job prior, and hasn't had one since.
I mean, you have to go back to, like, the 90s or the 80s, but right. Like, hiring Adams was what?
Convenient is what it was. It was convenient.
And not expensive.
I think it was temperamental, because it was in June. They had given Botra, remember? We know things that you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
That was from ownership. We know things you don't know. We're going to keep Jason Bottrell. And then it's the pandemic, and then it's June, and he's fired. And here comes Kevin Adams. And then a whole bunch of other people got fired. So, I mean, it's all kind of circumstantial, but, like, you can do the math, and it's not very complimentary what the computer would spit out there. You know, I don't have a smoking gun on all that, but holy cow, the optics are pretty curious at best. And so that's your organization, that's your reputation, and then you're gonna stand up and tell us all how nobody wants to come here because of palm trees and taxes? Like, dudes, you have dug half of your own grave before you walked through the door with the circumstances you got the job in. Perhaps. Just not a good spot to be.
George is next. Hi, George.
Hi, guys. My take is that I think that they were paid too early in their careers, most of them. And I don't remember, I don't have a big history in my head about how guys came up from the minors. But I don't remember half of these guys playing in Rochester that seemed like they got drafted, and all of a sudden they were on the roster. That's really all I have to say. I think they have some kind of entitlement feelings. And maybe they need to check, the team needs to need to check some of their social gatherings and stuff. Half the time these guys come out on a night like they had a little while ago, that they were all out partying the night before. That's all I got. Thanks for hearing me.
They did pay a lot of guys very early. And there were, you know, that has become a trend in the league, though. And I have, I with a clear conscience, I could not sit here and rip them for it. Because they do have the reputation they have. So you get Dylan Cousins at the age he was, 30 goals, 60 points, beating up some dude on the New York Rangers, like, oh, man, this guy's captain material. Okay. And you want to tell me you're signing him, locking him up because you don't want to lose him? Because, you know, you're before your reputation gets in the way, before he gets sour on you, you're going to lock him up. That's not a healthy way to do business, but I understand it. You're dealing from the deck you're working with. And so you do it and you hope. And they've gotten burned. I mean, Samuelson, Cousins, for sure. I am not at all sour on Power. He's far from a perfect player to me, but I'm still at his age and his size and his ability. There's a shift last night in that game that did it not lead to the tying goal? He was just incredible in the Montreal zone with the puck, Power. There's a lot there.
The charts love him.
And I'm not, like, look, I also see the shortcomings, losing guys in front of the net and all of it, okay? But I don't include him in that. Really, to me, it's Cousins and Samuelson are the two that are looking like you, because Thompson produces, he's had injury problems, you can never guarantee against that. To me, he's making $7 million and he's still a bargain at this point.
Darlene counts too.
Darlene is excellent. So they haven't missed on them all, but Cousins is a big miss. Because that was a guy you were, I think, expecting to be sort of the heartbeat and pulse of your team, was why you paid him. And he just... You want to set a tone for a tough road game? Try not getting pummeled by a guy that I can't shake the image of looking like he was 12 years old when he showed up in the league.
Hartford.
Just what are we doing?
This is the Hartford game?
So yes. So, you know, if you want to be harsh about it and less fair than I'm trying to be now, you could accuse Adams of taking a victory lap too early. Like, you know, because the contract, it is status for the player, and it's a rival for the player. Like, look, Mom, look, Dad, we did it. $50 million, we're all set. Thanks for driving me around the Yukon when I was 12. And I don't say that lightly. That means a lot. But for the team, for the GM and the organization, it's also a victory lap. We look at what we did. We did a thing. We got this guy, and we're locking him up, and yay for us. And you can be in too much of a hurry to do that. But again, the place that they were, I understand how that mistake could get made on guys.
Me too. They
don't feel like they can run the risk of guys getting to the market ever. That's why the whole thing about we want guys who want to be here, I said it the day Adam said that. Sure, I do too. We all do. As fans, what do we hate more than anything is guys that are on our teams that seem like they don't want to be there. Right? We want you to love us too. We're going to love you. Score some goals, score some touchdowns, we're going to love you. But you got to make it work for us. This was a Diggs problem. Diggs never really would give you, just wouldn't give you that. And I don't say that critically. I'm just saying that some dudes are just like that. I'm not going to pander to you. This is who I am. You know, I'm going to play great for you. That's it. That's the end of the transaction. Other guys will go a little more, and those guys get more embraced. But man, when it misses, it's just, and the only guys that want to be here are the guys that don't have any choice. That's too harsh. I don't mean that. It's just when they're young in the NHL, they don't have any rights. You've got them. And so they're, of course, going to talk about how great it is to be here because there's no doorway out yet. But as soon as that door opens a crack, like Reinhardt, okay, I'm walking right through. Thanks for everything.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, you can call us at 803-0550. This is WGR.
As a captain, you have to lead. Doesn't matter what the result was, we have to get better every day, and that's my mindset. And, you know, tough nights here and there, you just got to battle. There's no quitting ever, so, yeah, you just got to grind.
Rasmus Dahlin, eventful night last night for him. The Sabres lose in overtime to Montreal. Maybe could have used a save on that one, by the way. I haven't made that point today. Not a great job there on the winner.
No.
Does the puck go under his pad?
I think it didn't
look like there was room between the skate and the post.
Yeah, I don't. It just is not a shot that should ever have gone in. Yeah, along the ice like that. So yeah, I think it went under him. I think
that's a stick save sometimes, even, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. That was bad. He had a tough night. I mean, they did not give up a lot, despite falling down 3-0. I think the expected goals in the game were like 6-point-something to 2-point-something in favor of the Sabres. So
I'm about had it with expected goals.
It was not a great night for Reimer, but still, I mean, man.
The Sabres would be waltzing to their fifth cup in a row with expected goals. I'm just venting. I counted every team's playoff games for the last 13 years. By the way, everybody else is, well, not everybody else, but 16 of these teams are going up from that. The Sabres are almost definitely not from their zero. NHL playoff games the last 13 years. Went through, counted every team. And tweeted it. With the little, you like the little trophies?
I like the trophies a lot, yes.
Threw some trophies in there. And I'm just going through, like, Hockey Reference team by team and just going back to 2011-12, the first year of this Sabres drought. And I would click on that team's, you know, page, right? Which it would have right near the top of the page each of their playoff series. And that's as far as I would go. But you would see head coach, like that's right up there at the top of the reference sites always, is head coach and, you know, record. And some of the names of people who have coached in the league since the Sabres last made the playoffs, like Randy Cunnyworth was the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens that season, 11-12. So pop-up Canadiens, and then like, Randy Cunnyworth, okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, each year's playoff games. Ron Wilson coached the Leafs
right
when the Sabres drought started. I wanted to get somebody like more amazing because today I went back into it and I was quickly sort of bored. But I went back and like did some of this again today, not resting on the laurels of the original tweet with all the totals. Right. And these guys are not correct. Or maybe, no, Pat Quinn. The late Pat Quinn is not correct.
Right.
Hitchcock is.
Right, sure.
But I remembered today, I guess, if I ever really knew it, that Quinn and Hitchcock both finished their coaching careers, assuming Hitchcock's is done, coaching one season in Edmonton.
Boy, I don't remember Quinn in Edmonton at all.
Yep.
What, do you happen to know offhand what year he's there?
I don't know, 10 maybe?
Man, I don't remember him there at all. Wow, that's really something.
So just like the names, you know, like it's almost a generation,
right? Good Lord, yeah, I'm over here waiting for, like, I don't know, Marcel Pronovost to show up or something. It's not been that long.
If the Sabres won the next 6 Stanley Cups, they would not pass Tampa on this list.
Even if Tampa was standing still.
Well, it's 142-0. I'm gonna sweep a couple of these series. I'm good enough to run a six cup dynasty starting next year. Of course, right. I wouldn't be that greedy as to say this year. I'm not getting to the arbitrary number. I admit it's not 14 years. If it were 14 years, I'd have seven. Because 14 years, that's the last Sabres playoff series against the Flyers. That was a 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
With Brad Boy scoring their still most recent playoff goal.
After being a disaster of a trade acquisition at the deadline. Not scoring at all until then. That's right, right? He did not score a single goal for them? In the stretch run, and then I think he scored in that game. That's how I remember Brad Boyce. But that could be...
He at least almost never scored.
Okay. That could be my... I think the following year, because he was still here. Remember, they got him and he had another year. And that would be different. But that year, I don't think he scored until that playoff game.
He did score in the regular season. 5.
That year or the following year?
No, that year.
Okay.
And his only point of the playoff series was the last goal against the Flyers.
So it's not 5-2. So it is my bias is showing. I'm angry at them. So I want it to be that he didn't score at all after the trade leading into those playoffs. But 5 goals is pretty good on a stretch run, actually.
It is pretty good. We'll have pregame at 6. It sounds like maybe Paul will not be able to join us for the start of the pregame show, which would remove there being any chance of, for the second night in a row, playing Name That Slither.
Right. Although I don't think they would get Slither tonight. There's probably a band. It's Bill's night, and I'm friends with the guy. There's a trio that play at the home games, like not just in a lot, like at outside the Bill's store. It's like a Bill's promoted thing. They're called the Believers, and 3 of those dudes were a part of this Tom Petty thing I was involved in the last 2 weekends. And I texted the drummer, it's Bill's night. Did they book the Believers for the arena? Because they have a band in there. He didn't even know what I was talking about. Sure there will be a band. Just not them. Which is too bad.
And we won't know who it is.
No, because we
won't. Because we won't turn the mic on.
Yeah.
Or we could.
I suppose we could, yeah.
Just talk over the music. Like we do when he's with us, basically. Right. We could do that.
And he's fine. He just was hung up in travel delays getting back from Montreal is what's going on there. So not to worry. The last time Paul wasn't where he was supposed to be for one of these pregame shows, I was in a panic about it. I said so on the air. Like, where is Paul? He's never not there. Like, oh, my gosh. But he was actually stuck in traffic, which is kind of what's happening again today to him. Anyway.
Unfortunately.
Yep.
We'll take a break, come back, and get closer to pregame coverage, Sabres and Sharks, starting at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Sabres and Sharks downtown tonight, pregame in about 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. There was, some football news today. It was the franchise tag deadline. And the speculation had grown to have you think Sam Darnold would not be tagged by the Vikings, and he wasn't. So what that means is if they want, they can try to sign him by Monday. But after that, if he's not under contract, he becomes a free agent and can sign wherever. The Vikings, if that happens and he signs a pretty good deal, starting quarterback for the Raiders or something, the Vikings will get a comp pick for losing him in free agency, which I guess might have been better, as they're sort of guessing at this, than the tag and a trade. Like, is somebody trading them something less than that price? Whatever that is, like, you wouldn't know exactly. End of the 3rd round, maybe. So I wonder if it's really much of a window into what the league sees as his value. And he could also stay with Minnesota. I know Adam Schefter today was saying he thinks that's the most likely scenario.
And that still blows my mind. I've just even when he was in the throes of a borderline MVP caliber season, he had a great season. It got completely undone by the regular season finale loss to Detroit and then their playoff performance in L.A. I just never thought with McCarthy, like where their plan was, McCarthy, rookie contract, okay. and that got put off a year. And I mean, they would know. I guess I would take it as a sign that they're worried about McCarthy's recovery if they were to keep Darnold, because it just would not make any sense to me that you would commit big years and dollars, assuming that that's what it would take to keep him there. I mean, I guess there's some scenario where that's not out there for him, and he loves it there enough that they could get him for less than the going rate or something. I don't know, but I thought he'd played himself out of there by being as good as he was, considering, again, they drafted the kid to, you know, fill the team out, spend their money elsewhere, rookie contract, and now they've burned a year of that by the kid getting hurt. I think they get another veteran to be insurance and keep, you know, just keep going with that plan. I'm surprised to see an insider the level of Schefter saying that's still what he thinks is most likely to happen, because it never seemed like a good idea to me. I get, those are two different things. I don't have any information at all, any intel. I just from out here go, why do I want to spend $40 to $50 million on you? I drafted this kid to do this, and that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, to heck with how great a year you had. I'm not buying you at top of the market here. And that would be that for me with Minnesota.
I talked to Matt Collar on his Purple Insider podcast every Wednesday through the season, and toward the end of the season into the playoffs, this is the conversation we had. Is like, I would always say something like, you know, he hosts the show. It's a Vikings show. He starts by asking me a question about what's going to happen to Darnold. And I'm like, I should be asking you that question. I defer to you on this. It's like, well, I don't know anything. I don't know either. But he did make the point multiple times that they might not know what they've got in terms of the injury recovery. You know, they know more than we do.
Right.
But that could be an indication of that. I don't know. If I were a Vikings fan, thank you for your service, Sam Darnold. I'm wheels up here.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a coach. Like, what was Darnold a year ago at this time? Okay.
A reclamation project.
It makes sense as a backup. I've got a coach who has shown, like, he can make an offense sing with different guys. What was Cousins, you know, even really? O'Connell looks like maybe, I know in terms of fantasy, he's the dream, because they're going to throw the ball a lot. They're going to throw it to, the, you know, the concentrated, excellent skill position guys they have, and I'm going to get numbers. And that happened even with Darnold, if I can say it this way, even with Darnold. So I'm ready to go on the new kid, and if Darnold ends up leaving and I don't really do anything, like, in terms of compensation as the Vikings, okay, I guess that's how it was.
I would even go so far as to suggest that it would not surprise me if ownership, general manager, even coach, at some point, not, you know, you want to win. And they had a shot at the one seed. They looked like a team that could win the Super Bowl, I guess, as the year was unfolding. So that would have been your focus, of course. But at some point, after the sting of the game against the Lions, the regular season finale, and then the playoff loss, you sit back, light a cigar, and go, I think that worked out better. Because you would have been win one playoff game. You didn't even beat the Lions, but you beat the Rams, lose a close game to, would they have gone to Philly if they'd won that game? I don't know how that would have worked. Lose there, like, oh, well, you know, Darnold, we should probably just keep going. And I would have thought that would be a horrible bet myself. That's just me. I wonder if, like, internally there was some relief, like, okay, all right, we can keep going. The plan was this. Darnold almost completely upended it, but he lost the plot at the very end here, and now we have an out. So let's not do that. That's why they have that, and the only reason to me you would revisit Darnold from their perspective, if I had anything to say about it, is that, I don't know, is this kid's knee messed up, really messed up? Infection or something. There's something wrong. If not,
I haven't heard anything about it.
Right. I'm full speed ahead with J.J. McCarthy, and I'll go sign. Who do you want? I'll sign whoever fits the bill as, like, insurance there that could turn into this year's Darnold.
I'll keep the streak going and mention the name Daniel Jones on the show today. He was there.
Yep.
And so you've got familiarity and experience. I think he's just right, unless he can start somewhere else. And I do think that might be possible this year. Was it at this time yesterday where we ran through a list? Like,
right.
Who was going to start? Bet Online sent out an email today with odds on three guys. Darnold is one of them. The Raiders are the betting favorite. And the team that he's coming from in these cases are not included. So you can't bet the Vikings. But the Raiders are plus 125 for Darnold's next team. Aaron Rodgers is minus 300 to be on the Giants. And Jameis Winston made the cut today on this list.
Mm.
And the Jets at plus 250 for Jameis Winston.
Okay. Couple of other nuggets you referenced earlier brought up, and I'm glad you did, because there was some Bills info in there. This Matthew Berry column, like rumors from the combine. It's a long piece. I read every word of it. Tyrod Taylor is what he said he's hearing the Jets right now. That's their idea.
With?
Oh, yeah, no, it's, is it Sanders?
Milrow.
I don't want that.
You don't want that because it wouldn't be in the top 16.
Not only that, I don't want that because I think the kid's going to be good. So I don't want him in New York.
Okay, right. You always think of that. AFC East.
Yeah, but the other thing that we talked about, if it was indeed at this time yesterday, was Russell Wilson. Like you mentioned, how there's a few of these guys, you got to rule out certain teams because they've already been there. And I said, well, maybe the Raiders with Pete Carroll, that works for Russell Wilson. Like that would be maybe weird. Barry said like that they could rekindle that.
He did.
So I wanted to mention that because, you know, my opinion yesterday was that might qualify as a non-starter. Like, they're not going to get that band back together. But he said he was hearing that is a credible idea.
Sad to see the Bills not on the Jameis Winston odds list.
Why?
He's fun. He seems like a great teammate. I'd like to have him around. Like to have him on.
Interceptions are fun.
He is funny. Like he
is funny. I'm kidding.
The speeches there. And
yep.
He couldn't be good for the Bills vibes, Jameis Winston. He has a past where maybe I should think more carefully before throwing that out there. Like, it's obviously a good idea. We will take a break, and then it's pregame time, Sabres and Sharks. We've got the first chunk of it to ourselves here as Paul is unavailable. So if you did want to get something off your chest about them, we can accommodate you. 803-0550. This is WGR.